We read in the 16th chapter, he's been to Derbe, he's been to Lystra. He goes to Iconium, he's in Derbe, he's back in Neapolis, and all these areas that Paul's in, Galatian, Phrygia, and Macedonia, all these areas, and Paul's trying to find what the Lord wants him to do. And that's not always the easiest task. Some people say, just go ahead and do it. But I believe you better wait on the Lord. I believe you better be sure that's what God wants you to do. We heard a preacher not long ago, and he said that the way he got into missions was that he didn't have anything else to do. And I thought, well, that's not a good reason to get into missions, which I know God's dealing with his heart, and he's doing a great work. And God's using him greatly and wonderfully. It is this then that we need to be, there's some things you don't have to be, listen, to say, well, I'll wait till God tells me to read the Bible. He's already told you to do that. You say, I'll wait till God tells me to pray. He's already told you to do that. Paul's doing those things, and a vision appears to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. He said, we need help. And I dare say that there's one of us here this morning that does not need help. I need help. I stand in great need of help. And not just emotionally or physically, I'm speaking. I'm talking about spiritually, that we may really get a grip on what God has for us. And I'm sure of this, preacher, that God wants you to have revival. I'm assured of this, that God wants us to have revival more than we want it. And so we find that Paul comes over, and as he goes into Philippi, there is a young girl there that is, she's prophesying under the demonic forces. And if you don't believe that the devil can give you false miracles, then you don't understand this book. Hey, he's the chief liar. He's a deceiver. He can have come to you in an angel of light. And you may say, that's what God wants me to do right there. But that may be just exactly what the devil wants you to do. You say, well, how do I find out different? Pray, read, fast, study. Seek after the Lord. Stay close to Him. Listen, if you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. And you'll know the difference. We call it spiritual discernment. And that's what the Lord will do. And so Paul, this young girl's following Paul around, and she's saying things, certain things, and this damsel says she has a spirit of divination, and she's saying these are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And listen, God don't need the help of the devil to do that. And so Paul cast the demon out of her, and immediately these who are making money by her take hold of Paul. They catch him, Paul and Silas, and the magistrates. They bring him before him, and they beat Paul, and they beat Silas, and they place them in jail. I heard a preacher say this not long ago, a good man of God. He said it might be that we'll all go to jail for preaching the gospel soon. And he said, if we do, I'll just start a ministry in the jailhouse. That old preacher, the truth is, he would. Amen. He's that kind. And listen, all these things come to place. They've laid stripes on him. We know this, that Paul's a Roman citizen. And having received this charge, they thrust him into the inner prison. And they made his feet fast in the stocks. And verse 25, this is where we want to pick up our thought. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I believe our praise ought to be in a way in which the world hears us. Now I want you to differentiate between praise and worship. They're very different. Worship is that which takes place on the inside. And I believe praise is that which comes forth because we've worshiped. Because, hey, listen, you say, what have we got to worship about? Salvation.
Amen.
Sanctification. We've got to worship about the Word and about God's will and about God's way. Listen, God knows how to take care of everything. Aren't you glad God knows how to take care of everything? I don't. I just tell you the truth. There's so many things I don't know how to take care of. I need help. And that's what Paul's needing help. And Paul's come to give help. But Paul's also going to receive help. And he's with Silas. And they've prayed. And they've sang. And others have heard them, though they have fast feet in the bonds. That's a strange way to put that, isn't it? They're fast feet in the bonds. And so it said, suddenly, I found out that's about how God operates. Amen? Suddenly. Just when you least expect it, God does something. And I'm glad I heard somebody say this. When you're down to nothing, God's up to something. And God's always, listen, He's always around you and about you. And His desire is to reveal truth to you. And it says a great earthquake. There's other areas in Scripture. You remember the earthquake and Dothan and Abram and were swallowed up. And because they failed to worship the Lord. You find that in the book of Numbers. Also, there was a great earthquake. It caused the Philistines to flee. Elijah, as he was waiting for God, you remember the fire came. God wasn't in it. It said the wind blew and God wasn't in it. But it said the earthquake came, but God wasn't in it. And then it said God spoke to him in a still voice and God was in it. But God revealed that He was in fire, that He's in the earthquake, that God's in charge of it. Listen, there's nothing happens. The rain don't fall. Listen, the clouds don't gather. The sun don't shine. The moon don't come up. You say, preacher, hey, listen, none of this happens except for the might and the power of God Almighty. Listen, even creation declares the glory of God. Hey, He's a glorious God. And it says there was an earthquake. And let me tell you something. Earthquakes are unusual things. I've been in one. We was in our house one time and the earthquake. I think they said the center of it was about a 5.2. You say, did it do anything? It shook my house. Hey, it made a racket. As a matter of fact, as I got out later and inspected, some of the foundational bricks were cracked. You say, all that happened just caused the earthquake a little? And it was little. Listen, it rattled my doors. It rattled my glasses. Not these glasses, my drinking glasses. It rattled the cabinets. Hey, listen, and the family said, what was that? I said, it's an earthquake. And you say, what was that like? Is this that God's a moving? Listen, this world set on, they say there's faults, but God's in charge of all that. Hey, listen, God knows all that. My boy said he wish there'd be an earthquake in California fall in the ocean. That'd be all right with me too. But listen, God's still saving old sinners. Amen. Aren't you glad God saved the homosexual? God saved the adulterer. God has saved the drunkard. God has saved the liar. You say, how you know that? Because we all once were like that. We're all sinners. All of sin comes short of His glory. And so we find some great truths here. And there's a great earthquake. And the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And I'm sure some of them said, what was that? And Paul revealed to them, he said, the keeper came running out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. I wonder, don't you wonder how he knew which ones it was that had that truth? I know how he knew. Listen, you go out here and you'll know godly people. We stopped and got a sandwich last night and this lady said something to me. And I turned and looked at her, and she is a godly woman. I said, what church you go to? And she told me where she went. I'll tell you what, our spirit have kindred with spirits of others of like measure and like manner. And that's why, I think it's this, that's why you like some people just to start with, is because their spirit and your spirit attaches together. I don't say this too loud, but sometimes there are people that we don't like. That offend us. That it's because their spirit is in opposition to our spirit. Listen, probably that crowd stands for against everything we stand for. You say, do you hate them? No, but I don't have fellowship with them. Listen, I don't want to bring them to my house and have a supper with them. I don't know what we'd talk about. But I will give them a track, and I will tell them about Jesus, amen. And one day their spirit may get right. Mine was wrong. And as a young man gave me a track and told me about Jesus, and thank God I got right. And listen, if God can save me, God can save anybody. And that's what he said. He said, for whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad God didn't set apart one crowd and say, I'm going to save him, and set apart another crowd and say, they're going to hell. Listen, that hyper-Calvinism, it ain't right. Hey, listen, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. I'm glad we have a loving God. He loves sinners. Now, the truth is, God does not love sin. He hates sin. He's opposed to sin. Matter of fact, when Jesus, his dear, darling son, became sin, God turned his back on him, wouldn't look upon him. Why? Because of sin. But thank God for those truths. And we find that here the jailer came, and he fell at the feet of Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It doesn't seem to me like Paul's really talked to him much about being saved, but he's heard it somewhere. Maybe Silas and Paul had told him as they were going into the prison, as he locked their feet fast. They said to him, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. God cares about you because he sent his only son for you. And he said he brought them out, and he said that to them. And they said, what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I'm glad that my wife's saved. Listen, that's the reason we started dating one another. There's a saved a spirit, and we kind of liked each other anyway. And so when she asked me to marry her, I said I would. And so it didn't work like that. But we got this thing together, and when the babies came along, we prayed, God save our children. God save our children. You say, is that all you prayed? No. We took actions. We took them to the church house. We put them under the preaching of the gospel. Listen, the only time they didn't go to church is when they was, I mean, I'm talking about sick. We had them in the church house, and they heard the gospel. And one day, brother, they got it. They got it in their own heart. I remember the last one got saved, Jesse, the youngest. And the preacher, we was in a meeting, and the preacher got to preaching on hell. Let me say this to you. Hell's a real place. And he got to preaching on hell. And listen, God already dealing with Jesse anyway, and he couldn't take no more. And he got saved that night. Gloriously saved. And you say, are you sure he's saved? He tells me he is. Hey, listen, all I can go by anybody is that you tell me you are or you're not. I don't know your heart. I know my heart. And I know this. It's deceptively wicked. I know my heart. And listen, I don't go by what my heart says. I go by what the Word of God says. Because my heart will lead me down the wrong path. And we find these truths. And so he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and they washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when they had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. Hey, here's a man just prior to that was going to kill himself because of what Rome had said to him. But now, listen, now he's rejoicing in the Lord. I want to say it's nothing like rejoicing in the Lord. There's nothing like slipping up your little hand and saying amen. There's nothing like jumping up to your feet once in a while and saying glory to God. Listen, there's nothing like, and some of you have never done this, but I hope you will someday, take you a lap or two around the church. Woo, this old boy comes once in a while, gets around us, and I told the boys, he's the fastest runner I've ever seen in my life. And old Jared, he'll take off, won't he? And then he'll lay down some tracks, and he'll have him a good time. Listen, you say you have to do that to praise? No, but it'll help you once in a while just to get out of who you are and get into who he is. And listen, not be concerned about what other people think about you. You know, that's what stops us most of the time, because we're concerned what somebody else might say, what somebody else might do. Hey, they'll, Yeah, they'll talk about you. They talk about me. I've had me a spell or two a time. And they talk about me. I see some people now, and they'll say, "Boy, you remember back when you did this?" And I say, "Well, I sort of do." Or might even say this, "I really don't remember that." They've had some people come to me, and they said, "You remember this, brother?" And I said, "No, I don't remember that." And that's because, listen, I wasn't doing it to remember it. I was doing it just because God said to. God told me to. Hey, listen, that's what this jailer's done. God's told him to. And he's sitting at the house now, and he's telling his young'uns, he's telling his wife, "Woo! Hey, listen, I was getting ready. I was going to fall on my sword. But Jesus came into my life. And now here's the sword." Hey, aren't you glad that there's a sword that's sharper than any two-edged, and it'll cut to the marrow, to the underneath, asunder us fall? He said to know these truths. And so he washed them and cleansed them. And then it says, "And when it was day, the magistrates," and I'm not going to deal with this, but I want to read it to you. It says, "When it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant saying, 'Let those men go.' And the keeper of the prison told them, saying to Paul, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.'" He's happy that Paul's getting free. But listen, Paul said, "Oh no." He said, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned." He said, "We're Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily." He said, "But let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared, and they heard that they were Romans, and they came and they besought them. That besought ideal is that they begged them. I believe Paul was enjoying himself. Amen. I believe it's helping his stripes, preacher. I believe some of that pain was going away when he saw those magistrates, and they started saying, "Please, please don't tell anybody. Don't tell on us. Oh, Lord, don't tell on." Hey, Paul was enjoying himself, and there's some truths here, he said. And they departed, and they went out of the city, and they came back to the house of Lydia. And there, when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and they departed. Hey, aren't you glad that there's folks that bring comfort to our lives? I believe this. I believe Paul found comfort in those men who labored with him. Silas was one of those. Hey, it was easier. Certainly it was easier for Paul when Silas was whipped with him. You say, you think that's so? Don't you know the old saying, misery loves company? And Paul said, "Be a good cheer, Silas. It won't hurt long." Hey, listen, that's what I've come to say to you this morning. Hey, be a good cheer. It won't hurt long. Hey, listen, one day we're going to get out of this old body of suffering and pain and sorrows, of laughters and mockings. Hey, listen, people will make fun of you. They'll call you Mr. and Mrs. Goody Two Shoes. Hey, they'll say things about you. "Well, hey there, preacher, how you doing?" I don't tell you what, it's worth it all. It's worth it every bit. Keep your body pure. Set yourself apart for the cause and the glory of God Almighty. Hey, listen, one day that crowd's going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to stand before the Lord. We call that homecoming. And we'll stand before the Lord, we'll rejoice, but there'll be a crowd of that he'll say to them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Listen, they summoned the very house of God. Brother Gerald and I was talking about this earlier. They summoned the very house of God. They've never made peace with God. They wouldn't know God if he walked in this door. And so the truth is this. They're the ones that's going to hear, "Depart from me." And they're going to say, "Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we preach? Didn't we teach in thy name?" And he'll say, "Depart, depart, depart." Hey, listen, I'm glad one day I'll hear these words. You say, you really believe you're going to hear these words? I believe this all my heart. I hear these words. "Enter in. Enter in, thy good and faithful. You have served me on this earth. Now enter into the joys of heaven." Woo! Won't that be a time? I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I know this. There'll be no darkness. I know there'll be no death. I know there'll be no disease. I know this, that it's a place where there'll be no, there'll be only joy. You say, what are we going to do up there? I just tell you the truth. We're just going to worship. We're just going to thank God all the time. Hey, I ain't never cut a cartwheel down here, but I believe when I get up there, I'll be able to. You say, what else? I think they'll be preaching over there, Brother Jerry. This is what I think. I think they'll be preaching over there. Wouldn't you love to hear Moses preach? I would. Wouldn't you love to hear Paul preach? I would. And to brag on the Lord God and what he's, woo, I'll tell you what, he's worth bragging on. And so, Paul, there's some things here. And I want to use this thought, urgency. I want to use this thought. It was good for Paul and Silas. And it's simply this, old-time religion. Religion, that word is only used seven times in the King James Bible. And only a couple of those times is it really talking about our persona or our piety. The other times it's talking about Judaism. But what Paul is talking, and I like that old song. I still like that old song. Give me that old time religion. You know what that's saying? That's a religion is that which is outward to the world. And I want them to know this, that I'm an old time Christian. I want them to know that I believe this old King James Bible. I want them to know that I still pray and I still sing and I still praise. I want them to know that if a chance arises, I still run a little bit if I could. I get up in the seat. Hey, whatever God will let me do for him, I want to do for him. Amen. I preach a little bit. I sing a little bit. Hey, we go to the store, and I don't even know I'm a singing, but I'll be singing. And somebody say, sing on, sing on. And I just turn her loose. Hey, listen. It is this, that God, it's religion is that which is outward. And I want to read a couple of verses to you. And you'll be aware, you'll know these verses. You're very aware of these verses. And I'll share them with you if I can. I'm getting older, and preacher, I can't see as good as I used to. I can't hear as good as I used to. I can't do much as good as I used to. And the problem was I wasn't too good back then either. But James chapter number 1, I'll just read these verses. Verse 26 says this, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so I want to say, give me that old time religion. I want to stay unspotted from the world. I want to help those who need some help. I'm glad once in a while there's some who come by my way and they help me. Listen, they help me. Say, what can you do to get help, preacher? I've often wondered what would help me. And about that time, somebody would send me a check with some money in it and the bill's due, and that helps me. Preacher, we just recently, a pastor said, he said that we're doing our new budget and we're going to increase, they support us monthly, so we're going to increase everybody's support by $50 a month. And he said, we're going to give all our missionaries a one-time gift of $5,000. I said, wow! $5,000! I need tires on my car. The insurance is due. Glory! I called him. I said, preacher, wow! You give all your missionaries one time. He says, just one time. I said, just one time. Glory, hallelujah. And I rejoice. You say, sounds like you, I'm still, hey, listen, that helped me. I tell you what, I don't know to you, but $5,000 is a lot of money to me. I don't know how many missionaries they support. It don't really matter. They support us. If we're the only ones, I say glory. But there's others. I know there's other missionaries they support. Glory. Hey, I'll tell you what. God knows what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. And suddenly, whoo, that come out of the blue. I wasn't expecting that. Most people say this, yeah, the check's in the mail. Hey, he didn't tell me the check was in the mail. It's just in the mail. And they did send a letter with it and said, you'll notice that there's $5,250 in that check. I said, glory, hallelujah. Hey, listen, God knows what you need. And he knew this, that Paul and Silas needed a touch. But greater than that, he knew there was a jailer in there who was ready to accept and receive Jesus and his household. Hey, listen, and God made a way Woo! God made a way. Paul wasn't afraid to take a few stripes. It didn't worry Paul. It didn't bother Paul. You say, hey, you know that? Because this old-time religion helped Paul out of the prison house. Hey, Silas might have said something like this. He didn't really talk about Silas, and he may not have. But Silas may have said, boy, we're in a mess now, aren't we, Paul? And Paul probably said to Silas, it ain't as big a mess as you think. And he began to pray. Listen, it helped him out of the prison. And it helped him when they prayed. Paul prayed. And Silas prayed. And they pleaded and begged with God. The preacher said, y'all been praying. I'll tell you what, if you want revival, I'd agree with that. Pray. Listen, ask God. He said, if you ask, he'll give. Isn't that a wonderful thing that all you got to do is ask God? And if you ask out of a God, out of a heart of faith, a God will give it to you. You say, you mean God will give me anything? I'm not talking about name it and claim it stuff. I'm talking about this, that which is paramount to the kingdom. Hey, listen, you say, is revival paramount to the kingdom? Yes, it is. Hey, listen, when you get revived, you'll want to help others to experience what you've had. We've been around some meetings that went on for weeks. I met a preacher years ago, and I thought I met him during this revival that they had. And I asked him, I said, did I meet you in that revival? He said, no, you knew me long before that. I said, how long did that revival go? I believe he told me, Brother Jimmy told me it went 6 weeks. 6 weeks. They said, well, I don't know what we'll do tomorrow. But God said, or what we do next week, but God said, go again tomorrow. And they just kept going tomorrow, and they just kept going tomorrow. And God saved some people. As a matter of fact, He saved some people in the church. He saved His chairman of the deacons. Yeah, hey, listen, whoo, ain't nothing like a saved deacon. And you say, what happened to that saved deacon? God called him to preach. And he's pastoring a church now. And he's preaching revivals. And he's helping other people to get on fire and get encouraged. He's in a meeting last week. And it already gone one day over. I don't know what, it's probably still going on now. Listen, God just, that's what God wants to do in us. He wants us to submit and surrender. And listen, it is too hard on this body. Just think about this, go 6 weeks in meeting. Your dirty clothes would probably pile up. And you know what you'd probably say if you really got in revival? Just pile up our dirty clothes. You see, that's how it's tough on the body. Revival, I'll say this to you, revival's tough on the body. You'll be tempted not to come tomorrow night. Somebody will call you and say, listen, I got this and I got that. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? You know, I ain't heard from that fella. Isn't that funny when God wants you to do something, you ain't heard from them folks in months, maybe even years. Right. And just about the time revivals, here they show up. Or here they call you on time. Isn't that amazing how that happens? You say, is that God or is that the devil? I really don't know. Is that God testing you? Is that God revealing to you that you're not really sold out for Him yet? Hey, listen, that's what revival's about. And that's what this homecoming's for. It's to get ready. It's to prepare ourselves to get stirred up.